Hey, it's great to be here for the second service, and I understand we're also online. We're doing this one also online?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're online or you're in the room, tune in. We're in a good season. And so I'm going to speak. The message that I did in the first half, we'll see, might come out a little bit different. But something I'm very aware of is God is always doing a new thing. He's always doing life.
That's right.
And so this morning, we had a sunrise. We had what we call a sunrise. It was really an earth rotation. We turned toward the sun. We turned toward the east. And when we turned toward the east, we had an experience. It was a sunrise. And so we should always have that perspective in life, that every day is going to begin with a brand new sunrise because we turn toward the east. In the past, I preached a message in a number of years ago, the church that faces the east. We have to be the people that face the east. Are we always looking to God? In the east was the Garden of Eden. And Eden means desirable. If we want the desirable place, we have to constantly face the east. Matter of fact, in the Old Covenant, many things were set up according to the east. The Tabernacle of Witness faced the east. I have a Torah in my office, and proper protocol of a Torah is you're supposed to make it so that it opens. It always, the pages open toward the east, so it always, things always come from the east. It was an east wind that parted the Red Sea, brought a great path of destiny. When King Joash was facing the death of Elisha, he asked Elisha for a word from the Lord, and Elisha said, shoot an arrow out the east window.
That's right.
And so it's always to the east. New things always happen from the desirable place, the place of God's presence. So if our focus is God's presence, we can expect life to happen. We can always expect life to happen. Now, I have a tree in my yard that I planted in 2000, and it's a sign for the church. God told me to plant it. Weird things happen with prophetic people. God sometimes tells prophetic people to do practical things in a weird way. So I have a couple of trees in my yard that are prophetic. One is the tree that I'm about to describe, the apple tree that has 6 grafts. Another is a pear tree that has 4 grafts. And God told me that's my covenant tree. And in the years, God has spoken physically with signs and wonders through my trees. So in 2000, he said, plant this tree. This is going to be a testimony to what I want my church to be. And it says it needs to have 6 grafts on it. And so there's 6 grafts on my apple tree. And some branches produce red apples. Some branches produce green red apples. Some branches produce yellow apples. And he said, that's the kind of church I want. I want a church that has diversity of fruit, but one root. We often refer to a verse in Psalms 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And then we put the emphasis on unity, that God blesses unity. It's true that God does bless unity, but Psalms 133 describes how that unity happens. It says, it's like the oil on the top of Aaron's head that runs down his face, down his beard, down to his feet. In case you didn't catch that analogy, he says it's like the dew of Hermon, high mountains around Jerusalem that have snow on them. They produce dew that descends on that rock called Zion. Mm-hmm. And he says, there the Lord's commanded the blessing. Where? Where the oil touches the ground from head, face, body, to feet. Where the dew touches Zion from the high snow peaks, heaven peaks that drops its moisture down on that rock. There the Lord's commanded the blessing, and the blessing is life forevermore, eternal life. And what's the result? Unity. So it isn't unity that produces those things. It's unity that's the fruit of where God's presence is.
Amen. Yes.
And so we never want to do anything that breaks unity, because we interrupt what God is doing. But then we also have to find what's the source of unity. The source of unity is in our diversity. Where can we find God's presence? Mm-hmm. In our differences, where do we find heaven touching earth? Where do we find the oil that's on the top of Jesus' head? Where do we find it on his feet? Where are the feet on the earth where we see his presence? Where is the heaven peaks of Hermon touching with moisture on that rock of Zion? Where is their life? So we always look for where is their life. So in 2000, God told me to plant this tree. It was unity through diversity, but it was because of the one trunk, one root, many fruit. Now, God has spoken to me through that tree. If you follow my blogs, either my TED for You blog, Monday blog, or my TED for Leaders blog, Wednesday, you've seen me write on that tree a few times because God has used it to speak to me. In 2001, it had its first apple. An August red came on there, so there's a branch that is August red apples. So in August, I get red apples on my red apple branch. And I have mostly green and red. I make lots of applesauce and apple chips and different things. But my August red apples are the first ones. And when the very first apple came on there in 2001, overnight, 20 blossoms appeared in August. Which, horticulturally, that is not possible. But 20 blossoms appeared, and God was speaking to me, prophesying. God speaks, life happens. And he was saying to me something about, in a season of one apple, there was a promise of more. 10 years prior to that date, there was a lady named Brenda Maddox from Ireland that gave me a word. She said, "You've been a faithful servant. Where you've reaped one, you will now reap 20. So in 2001, I was about to go through a very difficult season. How many of you found out in life that when you go through difficult seasons, you don't usually get a heads up? Hey, you're going to go through a difficult season. It's usually in the middle of the season that you realize this is a really bad season that I'm in. Well, God was giving me a heads up. He was telling me, don't worry about the season that you're about to go into. I have promised you 20. And you're only reaping one. So that season, that prophetic word got me through. My tree talked to me. And it got me through that season. It was God speaking. Some of the things that, you know, follow apostolic ministry. And we're all part of apostolic ministry. God isn't about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. He's about an apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, mentoring body. That's what he wants. Amen. He wants a body that's sent, apostolic. Ascending, sent body. Sending body. Okay? So that's what an apostle means, sending one. Not just sent one, ascending one. If you're a sent one, then there's a sending spirit. If the church is sent, we should have a sending spirit on us. We send people. We help people find their place, find their fit, be life. Okay? So my tree is speaking to me. Supernatural. One of the signs of apostolic ministry, signs and wonders follow. So 20 blossoms is a sign that makes you wonder. So God has used that tree to talk to me. Another illustration, I didn't use this illustration in the earlier service, but just how the tree talks. It's had all kinds of fruit. Sometimes it'll get thousands of apples on it, but it's only this tall. Now, when I planted it, I felt God to say to do a dwarf tree. But if you know anything about trees, there's dwarf trees, there's super dwarf trees, there's dwarf trees. Okay. There's some people that are short, some people that are really short, some people that are medium, and some people that are tall, and some people that are really tall. There are some trees that are short, some trees that are really short, some medium, some tall, some really tall. He said, plant a not-so-tall tree. With 6 grafts. And it's a sign. It's my church. So I did that. But it's proved to be not a not so tall tree. It's proved to be a really short tree. Okay? And it was really bugging me. Now, why was it bugging me? Because some of the ministries that I'm connected to, it seems like they just haven't gotten as big as I thought they would get. And it was irritating. Even my training school was not taking off the way I thought it should. I'm being tempted to measure things the way the world measures things. Bigger, better, faster, and stronger. Okay? And this tree being, it'd be okay if it was a short tree, but it's a really short tree. And so I was activating the prophetic in a training school in Spain that I work with. And I stepped in front of one of the people that I was training. And I do that sometimes, and they have to say what they see. So I stepped in front of this man, and so I see you as a tree, and there's different kinds of fruit on you, and there's all kinds of fruit. And I thought, I need to listen to this one. And he says, but you're really short. So now I'm thinking, man, I really need to think. And he says, and that's the kind of tree you are. You're the kind of tree that even little children can reach up and take the fruit. And I thought, that's the church.
Yes.
So prophetically, it's not good enough to be short. A Jesus church is really short. The childlike can reach up and get the fruit. So tree was prophesying. Last year, in 2020, my tree did a crazy thing. It went sideways. I mean, it's like, it didn't grow up, it grew out.
Yeah.
And God was prophesying that 2020 is not a year where the church is going to grow up. You're going to have to grow out. You're going to have to intentionally be creative in how do you connect in a season when you can't connect. So we did all kinds of crazy things. I mean, I did Zoom meetings. I trained a group of students in Spain via Zoom. On day 4, the Holy Spirit fell in 8 locations. People got drunk and they never experienced it before. Fell on the floor in their room. Got deliverance, got healing. But 3 of them came and saw me last September because earlier in May, via Zoom, they got hit by the Holy Spirit. They wanted to meet me in person. They met me via Zoom. So we did creative things to be the church that grows out. Yeah. Now, this year, my tree is talking to me, talking to us. And I was hoping that the tree would just have all kinds of fruit this year. I'm ready for fruit. Anybody ready for fruit? Yeah. I mean, like, I'm ready for lots of fruit. That's what. If I was God, I'd just make everything lots of fruit. It's a good thing I'm not God, because there's fruit for every season, and not all seasons are the same measure of fruit.
Yes, support for it.
But my tree is talking to me. And last week, it really stuck out to me. I went out, and there's hardly any fruit on the apple tree. There's another apple tree and 2 pear trees, including my covenant pear tree, and there's not very many apples on the second apple tree. There's not very many pears on the next grafted pear tree, and there's not many pears on the other pear tree. My trees don't have a lot of fruit, but my trees are beautiful in leaves. The leaves are just like variegated green. When I look at it, it's like a neon sign. Just leaves, leaves, leaves. I mean, these trees are talking about leaves. And I believe that the church of this season, 2021, is a season where God is saying it's about leaves. So what are the leaves? In Ezekiel chapter 47, it describes a river that goes out from the throne of God. And it keeps getting deeper. It goes 1,000 measures, you know, it's ankle deep. 1,000 measures, it's knee deep. 1,000 measures, it's waist deep. 1,000 measures, it's so deep you can't swim. In Bible language, 1,000 is a measure of eternity. 1,000 cattle, it's all the cattle. 1,000 years, that's all forever. When God says the day of the Lord is like 1,000 years, it means the day of the Lord never ends. We sang about our beloved, more than 1,000. That means more than eternity. That's an expression in Hebraism that is an eternal measure, 1,000. And so the measurement of God is always doing something eternally. He's always doing a now thing eternally. There's another measure. So we're in another measure eternally of God doing something. And that river that flows is not some mystery out here. It's something that flows from inside of us as sons and daughters. Inside of us as the church. There's living waters. Like Jesus said, if anybody's thirsty, then tell them to come to me and drink. And from inside of them will flow rivers of living water. So God is always doing something. But in Ezekiel 47... by the time you get to verse 12, it describes the result of this river. It says, alongside the bank of the river on this side and that, take you back this or that, they'll grow all kinds of trees. They'll grow all kinds of trees, a diversity of trees. Trees is a biblical term for humanity generationally, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel, Paul, Timothy, faithful men, others also. A dad, a son, grandson, great-grandson. Generationally is what trees are like. Something of God being effective in the earth in a generational way. And so these trees, they produce stuff for food. It says their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their water flows from the manifest presence of God. Their light source is God. And their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. Their leaves for healing. Revelation 22 describes this as the leaves of the tree. It says that their leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's fruit for every season, but the leaves of the tree is for the healing of the nations. That's also a good indication to you that Revelation 22 is not a future event. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right. That's right.
Chapter 1 and chapter 22 happen simultaneously. Mm-hmm. In the place that is, that was, and will be. Revelation is not a book about the future.
That's right. Amen.
Revelation is a foundation of a revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wow. And since Jesus enacted the new covenant, the Spirit and the Bride constantly say, come. And the word is a constant coming. It's parousia. It's not a future event.
That's right.
It's a constant coming. There's always something of the Lord coming into the earth. There's always something of God coming into your life. And the Spirit and the Bride say, yes, 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 come. We want. Okay, you were good yesterday, but we need you now. So the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And the more he comes, the things that can be removed get removed. That's good news, not bad news. The unrighteous things get removed by the righteousness of Christ that floods into our lives. And it says there's no curse in the river. Well, but there must be curse in the world because they're hungry and sick. Because the fruit of our lives feed the hungry and the leaves of our lives heal the sick. So what's going on is there's water flowing out from us that's meant to heal sick nations and feed hungry people.
That's right.
It's meant to give life to people and heal places. It's not, oh, one day we're finally going to get to that place. You've got that place inside of you. Eden is inside of you.
That's right.
That's right.
A relationship with God and Christ is inside of you.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not an external kingdom. It's an internal kingdom that changes the external kingdom.
Yeah, amen.
Jesus didn't tell you how to fix the external kingdoms. He didn't make the external kingdoms the point. He made the internal kingdom the point because Christ in you will fix the external.
Come on.
He didn't tell you the how-tos and the what-tos of your marriage. He put Christ in you. That is the power that would bring life to your marriage. When both individuals find it, it transforms everything.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
He didn't tell you how to. You realize that when Jesus came, the political environment of the world was worse than America right now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's terribly bad.
Worse than Canada, worse than America, worse than anywhere on the planet.
Legitimate leaders.
Okay, it was worse than any time. And Jesus didn't deal with what was bad. He put what was good inside what was good and inside what was bad, knowing the kingdom of God would change everything.
Amen.
That's good.
That's right. Just a side note, you know, Jesus didn't take a political stand. He took a kingdom stand.
That's right.
And he knew the kingdom would change our means from the inside out.
Right.
All right, so there is leaves that bring healing to the nations. Prophetically, I believe that 2021, right now, God is saying, this is not a year of great fruit. There's fruit for this season. There's fruit in this month. But What I'm doing is I'm healing the nations. I want to heal the nations. Now, to heal, you need to be healed. So I'm going to look at a story I looked at in the very first part, and it's where Jesus appears to his disciples after his resurrection, after his crucifixion, before his ascension. He came out of the grave, but he hadn't ascended into heaven yet. And in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says, "The same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, they were afraid of the present circumstances." The environment of their day is crucifixion. The environment of their world was, you can be killed. Our best friend Jesus was killed. It appeared he was killed. They didn't have a revelation he wasn't killed. He died.
He laid his life down.
Okay. They probably didn't have a full revelation yet that he had done that.
True.
He willingly died. Nobody killed him.
That's right.
He died of love. Love decided to die. That's what love does. Love decided to die for the sake of that which was sick, for the sake of that which was wicked, for the sake of that which was confused.
Need of love.
For the sake of the unloved, that love decided to die. For the sake of those who couldn't love, love decided to die.
Amen, it did.
Okay. Now, the boys didn't understand love yet. Yeah. And so they're hiding because all they can see is in their world there's hate. Mm-hmm. They heard the words, crucify him. And in their mind, they did. They crucified him. They hid, they scattered, they denied. One betrayed. Probably all in their hearts in some way betrayed. So they're hiding because the environment of their day is an environment of isolation. The environment of our day is an environment of isolation in many ways.
Yeah, culture.
Not just COVID, but also a cancel culture. I mean, you name it, anything. We're afraid. We're afraid of ourselves. We're afraid of one another. We're afraid of our world. This is people in the world. Now, it doesn't make anybody bad, wicked, or evil. It makes everybody confused. Everybody needing to be loved, wanting to be loved. It makes everybody right and everybody wrong.
Yeah.
How's that? So the boys were in a situation like that. They were hiding in the room. And Jesus walks into their midst. And he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Now, he wasn't just, you know, a tie-dye, peace out, man. He's saying, peace, no gap. Shalom be with you. Happiness, prosperity, blessing, fruitfulness, abundance.
Yeah.
Heaven be with you. Peace be with you. You didn't do anything, boys, that changed who I am. It's okay.
Yeah.
I love when, in the story of Jesus' crucifixion, when Jesus, the second place that Jesus shed blood was when they blindfolded him and beat him. The first place he shed blood was in the garden when he sweated drops of blood from his soul.
Yeah.
He wanted to give us back a true desire, a true want to, a true Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But the second place that he shed blood was in the place where he was blindfolded and they beat him, and I think he bled internally. They struck him in the face, and probably struck him in his ribs and beat him, and at a time when he couldn't see because he was blindfolded. But before he was blindfolded, he saw one of his best friends deny him. Peter.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. He looked, says, Peter denied Jesus the third time. Jesus was looking at Peter.
It says,
and it says that the rooster crowed. And it says that Jesus looked at Peter. Peter saw Jesus' eyes. So Jesus saw one of his best friends deny him. That's called natural sight. He saw one of his best friends wound him. And I know the look in Jesus' eyes. It was, it's okay, Peter. I've got this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget, I said, I've prayed for you. And when you're converted, strengthen your brothers.
That's right.
Yes.
Okay? So he didn't look at it with eyes of shame on you. It was, it's okay, Peter. I got this.
That's right.
Then they blindfolded him, which is also natural sight. So watching someone deny you and also not being able to see anything at all is called natural sight, which is the opposite of faith.
Yes.
Faith, fear is not the opposite of faith. Fear is often the fruit of natural sight.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, right.
And faith is not the opposite of fear. Faith is the fruit of love.
True.
Faith works through love.
That's what it says.
So Jesus, when he sees Peter deny him, he's moving in faith. Okay? Now, he's entered into the room and he wants to let Peter know, he wants to let John know, he wants to let all the guys know, it's okay, I've got this. So he says, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. He showed them that he didn't have wounds. When he showed them his hands and he showed them his side, or his hands and his side, I guess it's his hands, his hands and his side. He's showing them what we would think would be wounds, but he's not showing them his wounds. He's showing them his tattoos. He's showing them his piercings. He's showing them that what you did to me didn't change who I am. You didn't put this mark on me. I allowed that mark on me.
That's right.
I was crucified for you. My side was pierced so that you could be the body of Christ. Like the first Adam's, a rib was taken from his side. The seventh place of shedding blood was they pierced his side, and blood and water went and touched the ground, guaranteeing the body of Christ from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. So Jesus is showing them the marks that I wear are marks of my love for you. This isn't the consequence of your hate for me. This is the testimony of my love for you.
Amen.
You didn't put these marks on me. I chose these testimonies. I chose these piercings. I chose these tattoos. I chose these to tell you how much I love you. You needed to betray me so that you would know how much I love you. You needed to deny me so you'd know how much I love you.
That's good.
You didn't need to be right. You need to be righteous. You need to be in a right relationship with me. That's the qualifier is me, not you.
Amen.
That's good.
So he's presenting that to the guys in this room. And then he says, peace to you again. As the Father sent me, I'm also sending you. What? The Father sent me so that you would see the Father. So that you would see he's the one who doesn't need anything. He gives life. He gives breath. He gives all things.
Sure.
I'm a testimony of who our Father is. I'm a testimony of love. You needed to see love. You couldn't really see love if it didn't include your cross that I took for you.
Yeah, that's right.
The marks that I bear on my body are so that you can see how much I love you. And now, in the same way, I'm sending you so that the world can see how much you love them. So that when they see you, they see your Father. And then he says a statement, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. I used to wonder about this verse.
Yeah.
If you interpret this through law, you're going to say, okay, I have the power. to forgive or not forgive, and if I don't forgive, you're going to hell. You need to read your Bible a little more carefully, because when you choose not to forgive, you're the one that ends up being in torment.
That's right.
So the forgiveness makes it possible for that person to be free. Unforgiveness makes it harder for that person to be free. But unforgiveness guarantees your inability to be free.
That's right.
That's true.
So Jesus was demonstrating to them, I came into this room where you're hiding to show you that I have already forgiven you. Your sins are not retained. You didn't change who I am. I want you to understand this revelation, that the wounds in your life don't define who you are. It's who you are defines what the wounds are. Are they piercings and tattoos, or are they woundings?
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks ago, I was in Wichita, Kansas, ministering, and I gave a word on what is in your hand. I've been blogging on it on my Wednesday blog, Ted for Leaders. And I believe it was the word of the Lord for the season. But while I was preparing for that word, as I was flying to Kansas, and then in the morning when I was doing my morning 6-mile run that I do, and the Holy Spirit was showing me, God was showing me my life. And he showed me, this is my, whoops. I've got the anointing oil kicked over. So he's showing me that in my 66th year, I've lived a lot of lives. I've had a lot of lives. I was a pastor for 20 years, and you get a lot of lives as a pastor for 20 years. Because you have a lot of people you love that leave, and you have to know that, you know, pastors really do love people. But pastors also have to be okay when people leave. I shared in the first session, I pray with pastors on Tuesdays, a few guys I pray with for 20 years now, we've been praying together. And when I first started praying with these guys, they had people in their church that left my church because I was a bad guy. I had people in my church that left their church because they were bad guys. And it didn't take me very long praying with these guys to discover two things about every one of them. They love God with all their heart, and they really love people. I'm going to be willing to tell you that almost all people who are believers love God and love people. And I'm also going to tell you almost all people, no, I'm going to tell you all people who love God and who love people are also confused. And they don't always love the way you need to be loved.
That's right.
They don't always perceive to love the way you think they should love, even if they do love you the way that you should be loved. And all of us have to wear those shoes.
Yeah,
true. Okay. The truth is, we don't wake up trying to be bad. But we need God to truly be good. That's who we need.
That's right.
So Jesus was presenting to the boys that the wounds that I don't have any wounds. I have tattoos. I have piercings. That you thought they were wounds, but they're a testimony of my love for you. Okay, God wants us to do the same. I believe that testimony was the leaves of Jesus' life. The leaves of his life were for the healing of the nations, the healing of the boys in the room. Now, receive the Holy Spirit. Look, my testimony, what I present. So let's talk about leaves just a little bit. And I believe that this season is a season of leaves more than it is a season of abundance of fruit. Yes, there is fruit, but the real testimony right now is the healing of the nations. So the leaves of the tree, they provide shade from the heat. And it's hot out there. Not necessarily in the Northwest physically, but metaphorically, it's hot out there. It is hot in our world. There's a lot of things that try to burn us, a lot of things that try to scorch us. We need a little shade. The world needs a little shade. Love covers a multitude of sins. That's called a little shade.
Come on.
Sometimes we need a little shade. Who's going to... You know, my umbrella is broken. I need an umbrella before I get too much into summer. It's not warm enough yet, but I got my swing and my table and my chairs. I could use an umbrella out there for a little shade.
Yeah.
Love covers a multitude of sins. We need a little shade. Leaves are the shade of our lives. Leaves are what extends out on the branches. It's what reaches out. It's what people see. I'm looking at my yard. I see leaves on the trees. Leaves on these trees. And they're for the healing of my life. Life.
Yeah.
There's so many shades of green, just glistening, variegated, translucent, transparent, moving, yes, making sound. Just the leaves are for the healing of the nations. They're the testimony. The leaves are what you can read, what you can see. Even like in a book, you open up a book, there's leaves in the book, the leaves of the page. This leaf, that leaf. When Solomon built the temple, it says that the doors of the sanctuary were two leaves. There's another Hebrew word, it's not the same word, but he uses the word leaves of the doors. And the doors were particular things that testified of heaven and God's love for God's people and God's presence with God's people were the leaves of the doors. So leaves are like the pages, what people see, what people read. It's not the fruit they eat, it's what touches them. It's the part of your life that reaches out. So the leaves of the tree can be read in the same way that the leaves of a book can be read. What is it about our lives that can be read by the world around us? Now, not just the whole world, but how about our world? What is it about your life that can be read by your brothers, your sisters, your children, your parents, your grandparents, your grandchildren, your neighbors? What can be read about you in the workplace, your workplace? What can be read about you, not just in Walmart, but in Walmart when you're there?
Yeah.
Hey, I don't care what's read in Walmart all the time. I just want to know what's read in Walmart when you're there. Okay, I don't care what's read in Skagit County all the time, but what's read in Skagit County? Oh, hey, that bus seat that you're sitting in, what can be read there? The leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. So what is it about your life that brings a story to those around you? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 and 8 So blessed is the man or blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord, who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. We trust in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. When everything is going on around in the world and people don't know what to trust, we trust in the Lord. When people don't know where to put their hope, we hope in the Lord. For he or she will be like a tree planted by the waters. Not dependent on the rain, planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots, the parts you can't see, underground, to the river. And it will not fear when heat comes. Hey, it's hot out there. How does that affect us? Depends on where our roots are. If our roots find the river, it don't matter if it's hot out there.
Amen.
It's fresh down there. Are our roots in God. It will not fear when heat comes. I'm not afraid it's hot out there. It's hot out there. You can get COVID. You can get rebuked for getting vaccinated. You can get rebuked for not getting vaccinated. You can get screamed at for wearing a mask. You can get screamed at for not wearing a mask. You can get in trouble for having a right political view, a left political view. You can get in trouble for anything. It's hot out there. Where do you put your hope? Where do you put your trust? But those who find the river, they don't fear when the heat comes. Its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of God. Its leaf, its testimony will be green. Life, life, life.
That's right.
Nor will it cease yielding its fruit. I don't believe that we're in a season where we need lots of fruit. We need lots of healing. The boys needed to know that Jesus was healed so that they also could go to their world and constantly be healed. You're going to live many lives. The cat only has 9 lives. I've lived more than 9 lives already in my 66th year.
Yeah.
So we have to trust in the Lord. We have to put our hope in the Lord. Because our life is a testimony of our connection to God. What is the testimony of your life? Is it a testimony of connection to God? Or is it a testimony of the drought? Is it a testimony of the heat? What's the testimony of our life? Our sister, you broke a toe, at least one there. Okay? I did that twice last year. Okay, one was really a stupid moment. I'm doing a Zoom video thing. I walked across the room like a ballerina. I broke my big toe. In the last 2 years, I broke this toe 3 times. I'm rough on toes. You took a shoe off and said, yep, that's broke. I know what that is. Hey, but God heals. Okay. We don't fear the circumstances. We don't get anxious when things seem to be in a drought. Okay? There's another verse in Psalms that talks about the leaves. It's in Psalms chapter 1. It's, blessed is the man or the woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hey, you want some counsel? Hey, go to Facebook. You can get some. Yeah. You want more counsel? Post something on Facebook. Get more. You'll get counsel of the ungodly from the ungodly, and you'll get ungodly counsel from the godly. You'll get lots of counsel.
Yeah.
But don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight or her delight is in the law, the character of God. Love, that's the law of God. The law of God is love. Love, that's the law of God.
Amen.
All things are lawful, but not everything is beneficial. How do you know it's beneficial? It's love. So this is a testimony of righteousness. It's not a testimony of being right. It's a testimony of a right relationship. Love. Okay? His law is in, he meditates it day and night. It'd be like a tree. He or she is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf shall not wither. And whoever, whatever he does, whatever she does, will prosper. Not prosperity like the world, because the world prospers by getting bigger, better, faster, stronger. Prosperity in the kingdom of God is giving.
Amen.
It's not addition. It's multiplication. It's giving. Our Father gives life. He gives breath. He gives all things. I want to be like my dad as I grow up. I want to be someone who doesn't need anything. But I give life. I give breath. And I give all things. That's my Father. That's our Father.
That's right.
That's our Father. So we want the testimony of leaves. I said that the leaves of the temple in Solomon's day, the doors of the temple were called leaves. There's another verse that uses that same Hebrew word of leaf, and it's in Psalms 14, or Psalms 141, verse 3. It says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth, and keep watch over the door, over the leaves of my lips.
That's right.
So my testimony is what comes off of me. What do I say? What, the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. What comes off of me? Is it something that brings healing? Or is it something that brings judgment? Two family trees. You can pick. Which family tree do you want? Tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No, it has knowledge of good. Or do you want the tree of life? Two family trees. When Jesus came, he made it possible for anyone and everyone to pick the second, tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
Be a part of the tree of life. Even as he said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Even as it was prophetically declared of him, that his father Jesse would be like a stump. But from the stump would come a shoot. Something born of the Spirit. Born of a virgin, born of Mary, but born of the Spirit. Like you and I, born again of the Spirit. And then from that shoot would come branches, 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 a tree, a family tree, like the vine and its branches. Jesus made that possible, but Jesus, as Jesus Christ, made it possible for us to be Christ, the body, joined to Christ, the head. Adam and Eve, eternally, made it possible for us to be part of this family tree of life, a family that has fruit for food, for others, for sick nations, hungry nations, and has leaves like the laying on of our hands, something that comes off of us. We laid hands today.
Right.
Something comes off of us. It's for the healing of the nation. What is it that could be a wound that was really meant to be a tattoo?
Ooh, good word.
We can keep our wounds or we can be healed. We can't heal unless we let our own wounds be healed.
That's right.
Now listen to me. That's right. The enemy wants you to live a life that's constantly wanting to be healed. But God wants to tell you this morning, if you've been healed even a little, you're already a healer.
Amen.
Amen.
And so if you're already a healer, be a healer, and you'll be healed even more.
Amen.
Ooh, that's good.
You're already a new creation, even if you don't look like one. Do you look like one a little bit? Because if you look like one a little bit, you're already one.
Amen.
So focus on what you are, not on what you used to be. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, was bruised for our internal rebellions, our flaws. The punishment that we deserve, he took it. He did it. He decided to. Love decided. And the testimony that he presents is a testimony that heals us. So that we too can be that same thing, sons and daughters of God, who bring healing to our world, who bring food to our world. Jesus didn't pray for the world. John 17, he said, I did not pray for the world. I only, Father, I did not pray for the world. I only prayed for those that you gave me. I prayed for these 12. And I didn't lose any of them except for the one that I was supposed to. In the same way that you sent me, Father, I am now sending them. Do not take them out of the world. Just keep them safe in the world. In the same way that you sent me to be life to the world by praying for those that you gave me, I'm sending them to pray for those that you gave them. The enemy wants to distract you by getting you to pray for the world instead of praying for your world. One of the wisest things that was ever given to me was by a man of God who told me, stop trying to love everybody. Love those who love you, and then you'll be able to love everybody. But if you keep trying to love those who don't love you, you know why they don't love you? They're not your world. They're the world. The 12 disciples loved Jesus. They didn't do a good job.
First time.
But they were his world. They wanted to be with him. So he loved them for the sake of being able to love the whole world. And him loving them, there were times when there was a bleed over, a spill over. Someone like a woman with an issue of blood who pressed through the crowd to touch him, and she got loved too, even though he wasn't praying for her. So you'll find plenty of people that you're not praying for that you'll give life to too, if you pray for those that are in your world. So you don't need to heal the whole world. You just need to be a testimony of healing to your world.
That's right. That's right.
Maybe you went through a painful divorce. Okay? It can be a wound, or it can be a tattoo. Piercing. Maybe you went through a situation where your parents rejected you, or your kids rejected you. Your wife rejected you, your husband rejected you, some friends rejected you. It can be a wound, or it can be a tattoo, a piercing, a testimony of your leaves. It's not the fruits you eat, but it's the testimony of your life that brings healing to the nations. The things that have pierced you, the things that have wounded you, you think the world has not been pierced and wounded in those things too? And the things that pierce and wound the world, you think that somehow, magically, we're protected from those piercings? No, we're guaranteed healing in the midst of those piercings. Thus, the doors, the entrance. Another place it says, the city of God, its gates are pearl. Pearl is, if you want a pearl, I've been to Hawaii a few times because my kids used to live there. You go to those places, you can buy those oysters and find a pearl. I know how to get a good pearl. Pick the ugliest oyster. Now, if you ever get a chance, pick the nastiest oyster in the patch. You will find it. Okay? Why? Because an oyster is the result of a wound. In the soft part of the oyster, he got wounded. So inside the oyster, it released two things. Minerals and an enzyme that produced a pearl. You've got the Word and the Spirit in you. Christ in you can take what the enemy intended for evil and turn it into a testimony of God's love, a pearl.
Good.
That's the gate of the city. Nobody's going to get into the city unless they see a gate. What's the gate? They see how God loved you. The testimony of God's love in your life is going to say, come on in.
That's good.
How much you know the Word and how right you are and how self-righteous you are, that isn't going to be a door that they're going to want to come through.
That's right.
But the testimony of your life that looks to them like it should be a wound, but you say no.
Yeah.
The sin has not been retained.
That's good.
Nothing has happened to me that changed who I am. But everything that happened in my life inspired me to find my roots in the river so that the testimony of my life would be leaves, fruit. So the testimony of my life, this is a year of leaves, people.
That's right.
A year for the church to have leaves. One more scripture and we're going to wrap it up here. It's something that Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Salt preserves. Salt purifies. As long as there's salt in the earth is okay. As long as there's salt in Skagit County or Whatcom County, everything's going to be all right. Salt draws out the life, the flavor of the food, the diversity of the family. Salt preserves, salt cleanses, salt heals. We're not in trouble as long as there's salt, as long as there's grace, as long as there's life. But if it loses, it's not good for anything but to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. You're the light. Well, I'm just a little light. That's called light.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're a big light. That's called light. But I'm just a little light. That's called light. You don't need to be light of my world. You just need to be light in your world. You're the light of the world, your world.
Yeah.
A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So your light, my light, together we create a lot of light.
Yeah. Wow. Light.
Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Wounds inspire bad works. Probably, if you think about it, most bad things in your life happen because you did something stupid.
True.
It's not bad. Where that's at.
And most bad things that you've done in life happen because you had a bad moment. You experienced a bad wound. You didn't wake up thinking I'll be bad today, but in your day something happened. Changed your whole day. And bad happened. The works of your day ended up being bad works. I've been working on the church building up in Bellingham, big renovation. We're partnering with another ministry and renovating. I mean, I'm taking stucco walls to smooth walls that are 20 feet high, framing and hanging drywall and building upper areas and you name it. And everything is okay. I can handle drywall. I can hang it. I can tape it. I can mud it. I can frame. I can do all that. I'm doing all really good. And then last week I had to do some plumbing. God. Plumbing will manifest bad works in my life.
And it's so funny.
And it's probably because I have bad memories, bad moments with plumbing. The good thing my son was there, who's got better moments with plumbing than I do. We did it together, got it done. But when I had bad moments, I noticed there was a couple of words that came out of my mouth that don't normally come out of my mouth. So I had some bad moments. Yeah, I had some bad moments. It evoked it. I had an S moment and a C moment. I didn't have any worse moments than that. But I moved from tongues to clearly understood language. And it was bad works. It was bad works. It was a testimony of a wound. I've been wounded in plumbing. Probably back in the day of frozen pipes and small crawl spaces. Cats. Okay, we've all had experiences that can produce bad moments, bad works. So if we trust in the Lord, if we're rooted in Him, if we look to the east with an expectation of life, the fruit of our lives will be food, and the leaves of our tree will be the healing of the nations.
Come on.
We're not here to heal the nations because we've never been wounded. We can heal the nations because we have been.
That's good.
Right? And so let me pray. Father, I do believe that you're talking to me and to us through the trees in my yard. It's a sign. Makes us wonder a little bit. I do believe that you're saying that this is a season where you want to heal the nations. Not a season necessarily of huge amounts of fruit as we would want it to be. But it is a season where you are bringing healing physically, emotionally, in our soul, thoughts, reasoning, imagination, emotion, desire, even healing also in our spirits. I pray right now that things that have been lodged in our souls, wounds that came to our souls, that those things would be unstuck right now in Jesus' name. They would go to the place where they can be healed, to our spirit, where your spirit is one with us. Let our spirit get bigger, that it can take the wounds of the flesh, the wounds of the soul, and it can be healed, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. Would you right now, in this room and even online, would you transform our wounds to tattoos and piercings for the sake of our world, so that those who have wounds in those areas can see our tattoos and our piercings, and they can touch our hands with their fingers in the holes, touch our sides and put the fingers in the place of piercing, and know peace. That we can see life come to our world in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. Let's let our leaves be full of life. So when you drive home today, check out the trees. And when you see the leaves waving, wave back. Maybe think of a wound in your life and go, bye-bye. Hello, tattoo. Thanks. God bless.
Awesome.